Hello, brethren. How are we doing? Pretty good? Oh, that's good. That's good. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:17-18. Habakkuk's prayer is a declaration of his faith and his love for God over and above his circumstances. Pretty easy to figure out. Can we bring his prayer into the present? Let's give it a try. Let's pray a declarative prayer for the 21st century. Although the market should crash and our 401ks evaporate, neither shall there be food in our stores, the chickens be incinerated in mysterious fires, the cattle be slaughtered for lack of fodder, and yield no more meat, the rivers shrink, and the dry land yields no crops, a day's wages should buy us no bread, and the price of even to live in poverty climbs out of our sight. Although insane despair leaks from every joint and orifice of multitudes of hearts, minds, and bodies, and wicked mindless fools and killers and thieves, never sleeping, hunt for blood and power, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Had it not been for the prophet Habakkuk, I would never have been able to draw such a timely parallel to our times from history. Go figure. Is your declarative prayer of faith in and love for God even close to the one I tried to bring into the 21st century? If it is, Saint, your spiritual muscles have grown. You are focused on the only reality, even the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. And you can even add to this declaration if you want. You know, fuel prices out of sight, electricity, we're going to freeze to death, we're going to starve to death, medical costs, big ticket items, toothpicks, all the way to that fuzzy little Santa wreath you want to hang on your door. That is, if you still have a door. Okay, forget the Santa thing. I'm just slipping into facetiousness. Santa's not living at the North Pole anyway, we all know that. According to the ill-educated experts, it's melting. What'll he do? Seriously, though, the fire's finally coming down on America, as well as the world. Welcome to judgment. It's definitely a go. Welcome to your fate, O land of the slaves and home of the shirkers. But I'm not here to cast aspersions upon them that know not God. I'm here to remind the saints of God not to doubt. Not to doubt his love for his own through his son Jesus. We're all getting creamed, it seems. Wearing us out, as it were. The difference between us and the world is that we steadfastly believe Jesus' words, written in Luke 12. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What a loving truth Jesus spoke. Were you listening? Was it sinking in? By your gift of the faith of Christ, you have been given a hope of a life after your own crucifixion to this world and its cares, a hope to reside beyond pain, tears, time, space. Please suffer the servant to remind you, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Just helping Paul out in posterity here, you know. What shall separate us? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? Or mindless politicians, scientists, bankers, or deceived narcissistic teachers, of which I say may they be accursed? Well, back to my reminder from Paul. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Kind of covers a lot of ground there, doesn't it, saints? Your God and Father is holding out eternity to you, and you can't even trust Him to feed you, clothe you, give you shelter, let alone to give you the things He knows you have need of. I mean, the bloody debris-filled waters of Babylon are rising around you, and you'd rather sink into despair and rage rather than declare your love for the God who put you there to test your love and trust of Him? I see. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? 2 Corinthians 13:5. I have always said that the word reprobate ends up meaning disqualified. But it's a little heavier than that. It's a doctrine that teaches that a person can reject the gospel to a point where God, in turn, rejects them and curses their conscience. I refer you to 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Is there any connection? In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Question: what of this world seduces you? When we turn from our road, following the doctrine of Christ, acting in accord with the world, have we not been seduced into taking an exit from this narrow way? Are we not rejecting Christ's doctrine and Christ Himself? Too many cares to obsess over? How about which political party of liars and thieves are elected to power over you in this world? And there's no time for narrowness with Christ here, I'd say. It seems to me that we can do this willfully or blindly. Either way, we can go so far as to shipwreck our faith and be rejected by our Father. Hence, we should examine ourselves and see if we still retain the truth, the love of the truth, that we be not forsaken and consequently receive strong delusion that we believe a lie. Strong delusion comes and it doesn't shake anybody up. They just go down that path, you know. Better fear God. The love of the truth is a gift of God, and His saints seldom or never stray off their path with Christ. Isn't placing our faith and hope in man or his systems believing a lie? Seducing spirits are working overtime on the elect. That's why we're exhorted to examine ourselves. Do you run your car or truck out of oil? Don't you check, examine it, that it's in running order from time to time? Are you in running order? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23:4. Of course, we know that this earthly life is a walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is all around us, from cradle to grave when it finally comes. We can fall into the dust at any time. That shadow follows us through this life. What about the rod and staff of our shepherd Jesus Christ? What do they do? What does Jesus do with his flock? The rod brings discipline and order and healing, among other things. The staff has a crook on top of it. You know? You see, the pontiff of Rome with this thing. The bishops do, too. Big hook. Well, what does Jesus do with this? The long crook or hook is used by him to pull his sheep out of the brambles and the bushes and bring them back into the flock when they stray. You know, you'd best feel quite comfortable and thankful when your mind of Christ is pulled and coaxed back into the fold by Jesus, using his figurative crook, by hook or by crook. Praise you, Jesus. But don't make straying a habit, okay? If you continue to stray into the seductive brambles and bushes and cares of this world, you can very well be rejected, made reprobate, because of your love for adventure and inclusion into the world and its lies. No servant or saint can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Luke 16:13. But no, you want Jesus and your reality shows. You want Jesus and your political activism. You want Jesus and to seek a revival never ordained by God in these times so near the abyss. And on it goes. Yeah, that's narrow. No, that's compromise. By your compromise with the world, you become neither hot nor cold toward Christ. And what will Jesus do with you? What does your shepherd say? So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Translation of the word spew is spit or puke. From Romans. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. You think about that line. You think about that one hard, especially the conscience' sake. Think about it if you can find the time to break away from your iPhone or your mad scramble to make ends meet. Or where you're going to hang that little Santa on your door. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. 1 Corinthians 3:18-19. How many of these men and women and tag teams, watchmen tag teams, do we hear out there doing this? Huh? Wisdom of the world, you know? Oh, It's the virus. Oh, it's the shots. Oh, it's the NWO shutting us down. Oh, it's a planned destruction of the planet. It's this, it's that. And then uncover the conspiracies. And then you go and preach a little bit about Jesus. Yeah, that kind of crap is not going to get me to think anything of Jesus. I'm going to sit back in the bushes with him and laugh. This is nuts. These are our teachers. You know, that which is about to come upon us and the whole earth vis-a-vis God's foreordained judgment is going to consign fleshly common sense to the trash heap and send this world into inexorable shock. It already is. Are you ready, Saint? Not only if your soul may be required of you this day, but for the day of your own testing? Look that up in Scripture and discern what that means. The elect are getting bulldozed with the same trials which afflict the world at large. Our dozing is a test of our faith and trust in God and His Christ. The world's dozing is outright wrath. Which would you prefer? Being ground into powder? Or falling on the rock and breaking before Jesus Christ? Is your spiritual state of affairs in order? Will you pray the declarative prayer of love and trust in God your Savior as Habakkuk prayed, no matter the state of affairs surrounding him? Or you? Will you examine yourself, whether you be in the faith? Prove your own self? Don't you know your own self, how that Jesus is in you? Except you be reprobate? Brethren, the days have come that God has sent a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. From the prophecy of Amos. I warn you, as Jesus did and does, fear anything and anyone but God and be made reprobate. Covet the things of God through Christ, and He will provide for you. Now don't tell me that's not loving. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:12. Hey, we got these scriptures memorized, but we don't know a dang thing about what they really mean and how they apply and how we should apply them to ourselves in faith. You got the gift. Hope it's working. Humility, meekness, soundness of mind, quietness and confidence. Very sad that some of the few still focus on the world's business and can't even find time to pray for all saints, as Paul counseled us to. We should keep these things in mind. Good servants are servants uninvolved in the affairs of the state of the world. Only the state of their stewardship, their souls, in relationship to God the Father through Jesus. Around us, it's a downward spiral into decadence and wickedness. We who are alive now may not live to see the conclusion of the matter. Ever think of that? Which of us is guaranteed a ringside seat? Our souls could be required of us today. Oh, you're saying that again, preacher. Well, tough. You don't like listening? Beat it. Stoicism and indifference to the affairs of this world are the flowers of sober spiritual maturity. I repeat, stoicism and indifference to the affairs of this world are the flowers of sober spiritual maturity. As for me, I'll be tireless in rejecting the seductions of ever-changing truth, the news, and everything related to the world. What, you love death? Take a whiff. I'm not interested in wondering what wrath the Spirit will bring today. Hey, man, surprise me. Today is a fire I must still walk through. What do I care what it brings? either blessing or reproof. It's all for the glory of God, period. So I recommend you live the now, 6 inches in front of your face, and keep your noses out of tomorrow. That's his business. Or have you blown off Jesus' own words concerning tomorrow? As Jesus himself said, seek the kingdom first. Okay, have we found it? That now we can forget our shepherd and bishop of our souls and kick back and watch the calamities as from some lofty perch? Huh? Let him that thinks he stands or sits comfortably take heed lest he fall. Let no man deceive himself. If any one among you seems to be wise to this world, let them become a fool, that they may be wise. Repeating 1 Corinthians 3:18. It's time to examine yourself again. Why haven't you been doing that at intervals through your journey? Scripture is full of signposts and guideposts and recommending, encouraging, edifying us how to stay on the path. It's time to get it all in one sock, brethren. You don't need some slack-jawed, self-proclaimed prophet for this. Who lives in you, huh? Who knows the end from the beginning and everything in between? You take care of each other in prayer with supplication and support if you have close fellowships. I'm not talking about money. Because I'm telling you right now, the scythe is swinging. The harvest continues for a time, saints. Examine yourselves. Are you counted as wheat or as tares? And as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. And let me tell you something. If your spiritual affairs are in order, then by all means, crack open that can of Spam and give praise and thanks to your Father for what he has provided you, and feast upon his love for you. You get your shield up, and you keep to the road with Jesus. Make his life worth living for. Peace be to the brethren. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.